Roden Sam.
Guys, welcome to a special bonus edition of the Roden Sam podcast catch-up thing.
Ooh, bonus.
So what you're about to hear is our chat with Rose Byrne.
Correct.
Unedited.
Unedited.
So I don't know if that means, did we swear at any point? Maybe we did.
No, I think we were good.
I think we were good.
So this, if you've already listened to our previous catch-up, where she was part of the show, that was, of course, the edited highlights down into two tight packages. What? How dare you, sir? But the chat, she came in, just doing it. She was just in a jumper.
She was so lovely, wearing her sneakers, hair in a pony, no makeup, just chilling.
Very down to earth. And you will hear it in this chat. It is loose. It is breezy. We will just hit play. You will hear 20 minutes of just good fun. Too good to just leave in an edited form somewhere. We thought you'd like it as a little something extra to take you into your weekend. Here it is, the full, unedited, exclusive chat with the lovely Rose Byrne.
Roden Sam.
Rose Byrne, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm really well. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
Nice to meet you.
Show me the button pusher.
Oh, he's irrelevant.
Oh, turn down your mic.
He is dead to us. But good to see you, Jamie. You well? That's enough.
We're very excited. Speed the Plow. This play, it's about basically how ruthless Hollywood is. How much truth is behind it?
Oh, I think, well, you know, I think it rings pretty true. I mean, I know you've spent, I don't know if you've spent much time there in LA.
We were there at the start of the year.
Yeah,
it was pretty ruthless.
For 2 weeks.
I mean, how long was the queue to get on the cars ride at Disneyland? That was 3 hours.
That's pretty ruthless.
Oof. That's brutal.
But it is pretty cutthroat.
Absolutely.
Like, what's your experience been like?
The great thing about the play is that it's a satire, so it's incredibly funny. And it's looking at it, just making fun of these characters, in particular these producers played by Lockie Hume and Damon Harriman, and the kind of absurdity of the world they live in. You know, they're really excited about a movie, but neither of them have read script. So it's that sort of thing of, you know, this sort of kind of strange, and this thing of executives that exist in Hollywood, which you have to deal with and who have some kind of power and make decisions, but they're all a bit nebulous in a way. Like, you don't quite know what they do, and I think they're all a bit scared of losing their job, and there's an incredible hierarchy there, and to sort of challenge the status quo, which is what my character does. Karen is very dangerous. She sort of gets in a bit of a dangerous position. So hopefully the audience will appreciate it and find it funny. And it's in the 80s, so it's a little bit
fun.
You know, that's also fun about it. And I think it'll be interesting to see.
And working with Lockie Hume, did he chew your ear off about some conspiracy theories, maybe the JFK?
So is this a well-known thing about Lockie
Just
Hume?
With us, I think. I don't know how.
I'm obsessed with how obsessed he is with it.
He is a passionate man.
I want to get him on just to talk about it. I'll be like, I know you're really successful, like yada, yada, yada. But JFK, right?
he's incredible. He also has an incredible collection of Batman memorabilia, I believe.
I'm so jealous.
Which is amazing.
Now, how does this come up in conversation?
I can't even. He's pop culture. He's very into pop culture in general. So, and because the play is about films and Hollywood and all those sorts of things, so we are always discussing stuff like that because of the show. So it was one of those things that kind of naturally evolved. But yeah, he's terrific in the part. He's hilarious and just a mess and really
Lockie.
He's terrific.
Now, as a grown man who collects. They're not toys, they're action figures. I just want to make that very clear.
They're toys.
How would you feel? My wife and I are in discussions about where mine would go. Mm. I don't know if Bobby himself has any. Does he collect? Is he just a normal grown adult?
He doesn't collect toys, memorabilia or whatever.
Sure. You said. No, toys. Stand by it. Yep.
Investments.
Look. You know, I'm sure it is a good investment. But I think it's really good that Tasma's supportive of you, because it's like what makes you happy then makes the house happy. As long, you know, but she's a good woman. Like, I'm not sure if I would be that generous, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, that's a pretty generous.
It's a big
pretty
call.
Generous
she's
thing
an enabler
to do.
Too, so she buys me things. That's part of it too.
Does she?
Yeah.
Does she buy you Star Wars?
Yes. Oh, my God, it's so true. I feel like this is an intervention now.
Do you have one of me? You know I was in Star Wars.
I should do. I should have your pretend armadala.
I was, you know, under one of those scanners to become a toy.
Oh, is that a dream come true?
You've made it when you're under that scanner.
You know, yes. Idea, do you know, she kind of looks like Natalie Portman. Exactly. We should get her.
Exactly.
Is it a bit of, you're talking about, the Hollywood experience. Like, you were one of those people that were there almost before anyone else. There's obviously a long, successful line now. Mm. But you, almost one of those quiet achievers. We forget how much work you've done and how many people you have had the chance to work with. Oh, it's quite amazing, Rose, when you think about it.
Oh, that's a lovely thing to say. Yes, I have been around.
But almost in a way like a trailblazer in the positive sense, you know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, well, when I went there, I went over when I was 18 with two hands. We went to the Sundance Film Festival with Gregor and Heath and I, and it was this wonderful kind of whirlwind thing. And I remember I got my first like Hollywood agent, and then I came back to Australia and I never heard from her.
Oh, great.
Oh. So it was a good... It's a good introduction. It toughened me up.
Worked it into the Speed the Plow script.
Still waiting to hear from it. She still hasn't called me. I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's so
but now weird. Since then we've had, well, I mean, you name it. It's like Glenn Close, of course. Russell Brand. We forget Russell Brand.
Russell, oh, what was he like to work with?
He's great. He was so professional, so funny, and fun. Yeah. Really fun and game and it, like so cool and so professional. It was great. And yeah, that was the first time I did a lot of improvising on a film, and he was incredibly sort of helpful and encouraging and all that sort of good stuff. But yeah, he's totally eccentric and wild and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, he would be a cool cat.
And how tough is oiling up Zac Efron's body?
That's a tough day at the office. Yeah.
It's tough day at the office.
I'm all right. Okay. I'm all right. I made it through.
Do you have to explain that one when you get home?
What did you do at work today?
I know.
Well,
but it's so...
You'll see it on the big screen soon enough.
It's so ridiculous, those Neighbours films. Which I love working so much with Seth Rogen, and Zach is wonderful, and our director, Nick Stoller. But those movies are, you know, pretty hilariously absurd, especially that. And the meat that we had to... That was, like, injected with baby oil. Mm-hmm. So it was disgusting and slimy, and I was just laughing the whole. I'm terrible. I always corpse and start laughing, and I think I've gotten better. But I did start laughing in that scene because I was like, "What is happening? What am I doing? I'm a grown woman. You're embarrassed about your toys."
Now, we're saying this before, Sam, because you know, for all the work you've done, it's now almost this comedy mantle that you've taken on.
Yeah, because obviously you're a very successful, very serious actress, but then you have, you know, a lot of the ladies in the office recognise you more so for, you know, Bridesmaids, Bad Neighbour, Get Him to the Greek. Do you have a preference over what type of roles you like to play?
I think, like any actor, diversity is so great. Like, to come back here and be able to do a play for 6 weeks is so challenging and great. But then, yeah, to do something like a Bridesmaids or a Spy or something funny, I definitely had wanted to do comedy for a while, so that was really exciting to be able to do it. I think it's very hard. I think, you know, what you guys have to do every morning, get up and that's what you're doing, right? You're making people laugh every morning.
We try.
I hope so.
Is that what's happening in here?
It's weird.
Think I'm really funny.
Because imagine it this way. Like, this is the first thing I've ever done that doesn't have an audience.
So how can you gauge?
Good question, Roseburn. Yeah. Very good question. So it'd be like you doing a play and then the audience are watching it in a different theatre on a television monitor. That's and you amazing. Afterwards just go, did they applaud?
Did they think it was good?
Did they stick around for it?
Yeah. That's weird. How surreal.
It's a tough job.
Yeah.
All right? We don't get to oil up Zac Efron here every day as much as we would like to.
What about this guy?
Jamie, the button pusher. Okay. Would you like to be oiled up, Jamie?
You know what? This is you're going to add this to the list with Delta Goodrem, Jacinta Campbell, now Rose Byrne. Everyone's referencing Jamie.
Come on. Look at that hair.
Yes, Rose Byrne. Yes.
Even Lunch Money Lewis the other day said it.
Okay, now you're just Lunch Money Lewis. Yeah,
you were
sure.
Going so strong.
He's on point.
Jamie.
And another thing you've just been doing as well is you've been working on this HBO film, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
Yes.
And Oprah, is she in this or is she working behind the scenes?
She produced the film and she is starring in it as well.
So did you cross paths?
Yeah, all my scenes were with Oprah Winfrey. Have you heard of her?
Rings a bell. I'll have to do my research.
Yeah, were you ever on the show back in the day?
No, I never was. I'd never really met her. I had not met her before, I should correct myself. So it was incredible to work with her. We were in Atlanta for 2 months working on this really great project based on a book, a true story. And I'm playing a journalist who's investigating her family. And she's amazing. I mean, you know, she's an amazing person, amazing woman to spend time with, and was kind of, I think, really... She kept sort of saying she was nervous, so that was pretty wild to hear that from Oprah
Winfrey. Isn't that amazing?
It's quite a departure for her. The role is very, you know, I think she's brilliant. So anyway, that was a really wild experience.
I went to her live show.
Oh, here in Australia. Yeah. She loved Australia. She told me about the trip here and how much she loved it.
She played some amazing songs. I might have a different show. But you can sit there listening to her talk for it was hours.
I know.
And it works. Yeah. Like, is it like you're sitting at the learning tree and you just want to ask her about wisdom, or is it like us with you just going, what's this person like? Talk to Oprah about?
When you're working with someone, you know, and the role, it was a pretty intense project, so you're very focused on just day-to-day work. But she is she's like an oracle, you know. She has this incredible voice and diction alone to what she's saying and what she's seen and who she knows and her life and everything like that. So like anyone, you just get to know them incrementally. And but she's a compelling person, absolutely. That's instantly... You can feel that sort of energy around her. Yeah.
I feel like she'd be a prankster. She's Oprah. She would like, I'm not saying she's coming up going, I'm Oprah Winfrey, pull my finger, but you know what I mean. She'd have a good sense of humor, right?
She's actually very funny. I kept telling her she's got to do a comedy because she's physically was very funny. But she's not. She wasn't doing any pranks. I love this. People always think you're doing pranks on set. People are just doing like those fart bags or whatever's going on.
Whoopee cushions.
Whoopee cushions. I was like, I've never been on a set like that where it's just oh my God, this is a prank. It's never happened to me. Done 75 movies. I've never met a prankster.
No one's putting a bucket of water
the bucket came in.
Put this flaming bag out. Ha ha, it's got poo in it.
Oh, that's so funny. Wow. Oh, you're so funny, Russell. Never happened.
Now, at the time you were making this, were you like new mum stage? Was Rocco just a little in at
this
point?
Yeah, I was. It was my first time back at work. So that was,
And how was that experience?
Joined the ranks of working women all around the world. And it was great. I mean,
was it difficult?
I have no complaints. I'm very lucky. I had great help and, you know, I've no complaints. And he's a good baby, knock on wood. So, but there's long hours. Like I'm sure with you, Rove, you have to juggle things. But it's
you do. And I sort of this is the thing that they don't prep you for, right? So when we first had Ruby, it's 3 hours on, and then they're up for an hour, then they sleep for three, then they're up again. So you get no sleep during the night. And it's a real test on a relationship.
Mm.
And
sleep deprivation.
You see why it's like a torture device.
Yeah,
terrible.
You do. You really do. It's a it's that mind exhaustion, right? And you just can't. You get emotional and about silly things like, why didn't you do the dishes? I'm so tired. But then it gets easier. Now, you know, once they sleep through the night is a big milestone.
But then you get into, oh my God, something's happened. They've slept through the night. Oh my God, they're
no, I know, I know,
breathing.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. And it goes the other end. You're just checking them, and then you don't sleep anyway. So it's like.
So how old's Rocco now?
9 months.
He is at 9 months.
Oh
well, that's cute.
So
that's
we're through the worst
age.
Of it.
Yes, yeah, that's yeah.
We'll soon be walking, talking. I was just recently teaching Ruby about vampires. If you need advice,
yes. What did she do for Halloween?
She dressed as an ice cream, and we went to
it.
I said to him, what do you want to go dressed as? He went to like a fete up the road and it was like, all these kids are dressed up. And I thought, we'll keep it safe. I said, what do you want to go dressed up? And she went, a strawberry ice cream.
Oh, that's very specific.
So all the strawberry ice creams out there got really offended.
I know. What about, I want to go as a chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I just put her in a pink shirt that she's got with an ice cream on it and then just painted an ice cream on her face. And then she had to look at it and went, no, I want sprinkles on it. I was like, oh, mate, we're not taking orders. But all right. And then took her in and I thought she's going to be petrified of all the kids dressed up as skeletons and witches, but blew her mind. She loved it.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's good. that's great. That, yep. I wasn't sure how big it was in Australia, to be honest. If it was as big as it is in America, obviously, you know, they go nuts for Halloween. And everybody dresses up, like the adults and of it. But I guess it's becoming more popular here.
Which is good to say. I think it's fantastic.
It's fun.
Now, I don't know if Rocco's aware of how great Mum is with her animals and her bird calls. Because we heard you recently on The Tonight Show doing this.
Beautiful.
That really.
It sounds
good. Caused a ripple that I really didn't realize. I was a little naive doing that bird call. That I would. People, Americans love it. I mean, they love it. Yeah, they want to hear about the wild animals and what's in Australia so dangerous. And it's like, yeah, you know, right. I grew up in, you know, Balmain, and I'm like totally like a city girl. But yeah, my boyfriend Bobby first heard a kookaburra and he was like, "What is that?" He got very disturbed by the noise. Yeah. And it is an incredible noise, no? The
it kookaburra. Is. It is. We've had kookaburras swooping. They, once they start swooping, yeah, they what do you have to do?
Kookaburra swoops?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't
yes.
know that. Okay. Really?
Where I live when I was in Melbourne, it's about an hour out and there's this kookaburra and it used to sit. It was evil.
In the old gum tree?
It would sit in a tree and as soon as you would get to the car, from the front door to the car, you had to run because it would swoop. And then it would get under the veranda and just swoop, 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 swoop.
So wanted to kill you.
Yeah, it was
aggressive,
really scary.
Huh? Aggressive.
You, do,
you don't want to know what happened to that kookaburra.
What did you do? What did you do to it? Now, Rose, this is a fair question. What did you do to that kookaburra to make it mad?
I don't know.
Wow, we've opened a wound.
It was very terrifying. I don't know what happened, guys.
What did you do to the kookaburra?
It was just traumatized.
But by what, though?
Nothing. I did nothing wrong.
Answer Rose Burnsam.
I didn't do anything wrong.
She's hiding something.
It's just a case of kookaburra just swooping. Like a magpie. You know what was hanging out with the magpies?
Okay.
That's what happened.
We have a segment
on the crowd. The bad crowd, huh?
We have a segment on the show called Arsehole Animals, where we tell stories about being attacked by our feathered and furry and finned friends. Do you have an arsehole animal story at all?
That's a good question.
That's what I do.
A horse did buck me once.
Excuse me?
Oh. Yeah, when I was really little. And ever since then, I've been pretty scared.
My headphones are a bit patchy.
Oh, and you know what? No, actually, I have a worse story.
Oh.
I was like heavily pregnant, like 7 months pregnant. And we were on a friend's farm upstate New York with these miniature donkeys. His friend had like a hobby farm. And they were like, come in and pet the donkeys. And they're like pretty cute and little. And so I went in heavily pregnant. And this donkey cornered me and started kicking me like fully, fiercely, bang, 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 like that, kicking me. And I like deflected, you know, so it got my, you know, my butt and my legs and stuff.
That's
but like
traumatic.
It went and like cornered me into the pen. And
what?
Then, you know, our friend who has the horses was mortified and like took the donkey away. And it was pretty scary because I was pregnant. So that was pretty bad. And then he sent them away.
Oh.
Yeah. A-hole.
That's it. I'll do a better
that
one.
That was really
I'll
get a better loud.
One. Hang on.
What an asshole.
That's it. Wow.
Yeah.
And that donkey was never heard
and
of again.
And that donkey, yeah, he unfortunately, I think the donkey went to another farm because he was so mortified.
The donkey was?
Our friend. Oh. No, the donkey didn't care. The donkey was like, I'm not sure why he did it to me. I think he just didn't like me and he was backing into me. He had like a really big butt and he was backing into me.
Sometimes animals, if you're pregnant, get a bit weird. I have a friend when she was pregnant, she had like four dogs, rescue dogs. They've all had, you know, a troubled upbringing, but they were still the most delightful dogs you'd ever wish to meet. Mm. She got pregnant and they were like, there's something wrong with Mum. Let's get her.
Uh-oh.
And they just went, we don't want anything to do with you. Go over there. Away, human. And she was like, it's, I think, because they can smell something or they can sense a second heartbeat or whatever.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
That's why you shouldn't have pet donkeys, guys. Even the tiny ones.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I was black and blue, covered with bruises all up and down my legs.
How frightening.
It was really, it was pretty scary. I was pretty shaken up afterwards. Yeah. But, I mean, I was fine, but my friend was just mortified, so I felt bad. Because he was so, Griffin was mortified.
Griffin, if you're listening. 13, 10, 16. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Speed the Plough, it opens Saturday the 12th of November, Sydney Theatre Company. Tickets are on sale now at sydneytheatre.com.au. Just a quick thing. If this is set in the 80s, are we seeing like
perms?
Perms, power shoulder pads?
There's a little bit of that. Well, you know who inaugurated this role was Madonna. She did it on Broadway in 1988. She was the first
You don't need that pressure.
Do it, so.
You got this.
No, it's not even 30 years, so it's okay. It's all moved on.
Can't wait to see it. Thank you very much for joining us. Rose Byrne, an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Rose and Sam.